Sunday with Miriam on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Travel Department. Discover hundreds of unforgettable destinations with expert local guides.
Tweet at Miriam O'Call.
Author Colm Tobin has been working on a project called Urban Legends for the Wexford Festival Opera this year. Three stories of paths crossing and love and local legends. And he joins me now from the US. Colm, it's always a pleasure to speak to you. How are things with you in the US?
Things are bad here, as you know, but anyway, you do your best.
How are you reflecting, just before we get into the lovely operatic themes, on the 100 days of Trump's second presidency? How do you reflect on that, or do you?
I think they pushed everybody much further than our imagination even went. You know, in other words, every day there was a further sort of spectacle. And, you know, the news was, I mean, the prison in El Salvador, the tariffs, the just the daily business of him coming out with such an amount of nasty energy. And I was trying to explain this to an audience in Cologne, in Germany. And I realized as I was talking about what it was like being in America for the first, say, month of Trump, the Germans were watching me very carefully, meaning, no one from outside Germany has ever understood what happened to our parents and grandparents with Hitler. In other words, how easy it is to be lured into the ordinariness of these days, which are not ordinary. And they all sort of started to watch me. And I realized as I was talking that they understood from their parents and grandparents how you start to tolerate this. You start to, it's ordinary, you start to ignore it, you start to pretend it's okay, you start to say it'll be over soon, which was one of the big things in 1933. Thomas Mann, who was a novelist in Germany, kept thinking, this cannot last, this has got to stop, this will be over by next year.
Terrifying, actually, the way, just putting it like that, Colm. Also, do you have concerns, as you know, Irish people who've been living in the States for years, and they're finding themselves, some of them, coming to the attention of ICE?
The word ice says really, I mean, do you want ice in your drink? Would you like ice and lemon? The thing is about spectacle. It's about creating a sort of excitement around the grisly images of people being put into massive prisons in Salvador. And the Irish don't fit into that. It doesn't mean, however, that ICE doesn't have now an extraordinary carte blanche to go anywhere they want and do anything they want.
You teach a course, you're involved in an academic institution, Columbia. In terms of the universities, how do you think they're acquitting themselves in the face of the free speech challenges, the threats to cut funding?
Columbia very badly. It sort of demonised its own students, which I think for any university is an awful mistake. And if you look at, for example, the way Trinity College Dublin dealt with the protests, that they simply respected the students. And this happened in other American universities as well. But I think Columbia is a pretty good case of that they just presumed that the students who were protesting were in some way in the wrong, that they were anti-Semitic or that they were, you know, extreme. But actually, those of us who were teaching those students knew that this wasn't the case. And that the university was, in fact, creating the hysteria and the paranoia and all the trouble. So while some students have been expelled, it seems to me that some trustees should actually think or consider their positions. But, it's not been great.
Let's talk about happier things, Colm. Wexford and your idea for Urban Legends. You write the words. I think the music is by Andrew Sinnott. Tell me about how all this came about.
Well, there's a director, the woman who runs the Wexford Opera Festival is called Rosetta Cucci. And what's happened so far with me and her is if she asks me to do something, if I can't think of an idea there and then in that second, it won't work. So she said, Urban Legend, Wexford, can you think of something you could do for 3 nights in a row after the opera, after the big opera? People will come into another space and find singers and there will be a story to be told that is an urban legend. And immediately I said, well, there's always been an urban legend in Wexford town with the long snaky main street, the north main street going into the south main street, that if you set off, I think at a certain time of day, I put it into my opera as it being midday. And if you walk the entire main street, starting at midday, you will at some point pass the person you're going to marry. And the minute I thought of it, I told her about it and said, look, it's easy. She said, all you have for this is two singers and a narrator. I said, "Great, just have a boy starting at the no at the no at the north end, where sort of Dunn's Stores is, and the girls starting down at the old barracks, and they're both going to over the first 2 nights." They're both going to walk, and you know the same things are going to happen. Like for example, it's going to start to rain for one, and you realize the other one, yeah, the rain's coming in the South Main Street too. And they both sing, and they sometimes have duets because they're seeing the same things or thinking the same things. They're passing people they know and don't know. They're both single. They both wish they weren't single, and so it's a big love story. And then the culminating night, the third night is. When one of them is approaching the bull ring in Wexford and the other is passing the bookshop and they're passing Saint Tiberius's, and you realize, oh my God, they're going to actually pass each other. Are they going? And one of them goes into a chemist shop and the other goes into a different chemist shop. The main street seems to be Wexford to be filled with chemist shops. And they go into the wrong shop, they miss each other. And if one stays too long in a chemist shop, the other one's not going to see the other. Which one is called Bernie and the other is called Declan. I wanted names for them that weren't Italian, like Mimi or Giuseppe. Certainly Irish, ordinary, like Bernie and Declan. Are they ever going to meet or are they not? And but actually, I mean, I can't give the plot away, as you know, Miriam. But just to say that by the end, it's tremendous fun writing arias because one sings a line, the other adds to the line. They sing the next line together. It's up to Andrew Sinnott, of course, to put music on this, but all I'm doing is offering him a sort of a blueprint or material to work from. But I mean, our main interest is creating excitement. I had an opera on a few years ago, and I realized it was too morose, it was too sad, it was too much about death, and the audience was sitting there, were being very nice. But I thought I'd never do that again. In future, if I'm doing this, I'm going to write comedy, I'm going to write love scenes, I'm going to write culmination, people recognizing each other and feeling the rest of my life now is changing. So this is what the this is what this is about.
Now, you're not going to tell me, but I really hope you give them a happy ending, Colm. That's all I just want to say.
I promise, no more, no more. Those operas where someone has tuberculosis but manages to sing extraordinary high notes.
Yes.
None of that.
Excellent. There are three of these stories, of course. So do you have to go and see all three to understand them, or are they
Oh,
standalone?
yeah. No, I mean, the whole point is you wander in and realize that they're on their way somewhere. But the hope would be that people would be getting, you're trying to write plot so that, by the second one, people would think, oh my God, I have to go tomorrow night again. So, yeah, the idea is that you have to go to all three. But I mean, if you just wander into one, you'd hear some wonderful singing and, Andrew Sinnott's music and stuff. But yeah, it's a story.
Why do you love opera so much? I mean, you mentioned, the aria there. I think libretto, I could be wrong, is basically the opera world's word for a script. But is it really different to writing, say, poetry or prose?
It's a bit like writing a song and maybe writing poetry, except that you're constantly aware that you can bring in a second voice and a third voice. So you can have someone singing, for example, "Today's a Beautiful Day," and then you can have suddenly the contralto coming in under the soprano and going, "Today," they can both sing the line. And then you can bring in the tenor. And what I'm trying to do is just imagine this. But of course, it always comes as a surprise when the composer does it. You can get levels of emotion, of raw emotion. I think everybody knows this from something like Nessun Dorma or those sort of famous big Italian arias from the 19th century, that you can get an extraordinary levels of raw emotion from it, just from the soaring voice, but not just the soaring voice as, for example, singing a song. But the soaring voice telling a story, the soaring voice expressing emotion, and then the other voice being able to come in. And of course, if you can use the orchestra or the piano, whatever instruments you're using, so you can get soaring emotion, which is something I have to say, if you're writing a novel, you really want to be careful not to try and get, to keep the thing down into where did they go next, what did they think next, what did they feel next, what room are they in? So it's a much, I mean, the novel is a very banal form compared to this, which is pure poetry, pure, beauty.
How do you bring people, therefore, who aren't well versed in opera into that world? Do you think there's still a feeling among some people that it's not for them? It maybe is a little elitist still, even though we know it's not.
And no, I think in Wexford you're pushing an open door. In other words, that the people of the town. You see, all the singers used to stay in houses in the town. They didn't get put up in hotels. So every landlady, but even people who just would have a spare room, would have a great tenor staying with them. And word would get around in Wexford that of the three main operas, which was the best? Of the best, who was the best singer in it? And this rumor would go around and we'd be very well informed. So, I mean, Wexford has a lot of, I suppose, a long sort of choral tradition. People were in choirs, in church choirs. So people knew about music. But certainly, when I did a comedy this year, in October, I wrote an opera about Lady Gregory going to America with the Abbey Theatre called Lady Gregory in America. And it was a comedy, but I didn't for one moment feel as I was in the theatre that these were an elite audience. The tickets were cheap, and it was often on at 11 in the morning. It was on at the weekend. I didn't for a moment feel that the people who would say would go to Croke Park would at the same time come to the opera. Wexford doesn't really make those distinctions. With the big operas in Wexford, it used to be that half the audience was English and would have come over and would be very posh indeed. But that's changed. It really has, and a lot of what we might call ordinary Irish people book those tickets and go to those operas now.
Are you writing a book at the moment?
I'm trying to. I've just finished a libretto and I'm book of short stories. I have one more story to write, and then I'll have a book of stories. So I think it's 10 stories. Some of them written a few years ago, and all of them trying to add up to a book. But a book of stories is odd because it can't be all the same sort of story. You have to vary the thing if you're doing it as a book. And it's different to writing an opera, I can tell you, writing a short story, because you really can't depend on a single beautiful line doing all the work for you, or a singer coming in to rescue your banal line and bring it up into sort of glory and beauty. You have to do all the work yourself.
Does it get easier as a writer when you've won as many awards as you?
No. I mean, I'm going to be 70 this year, and
Woohoo.
I've been working on a novel, and I've been looking at it now, the drafts, and it's not working. It's just not working. I mean, there's nothing else to be said about it, and what you do with it is you just drop it. I've done the opening chapter maybe three or four times, each time without looking at what I'd done before, just trying it again. It was on my mind for a long time to write this story. And it's not working. It's not happening. It's no good. It's just no good. And you should get to the age when you say to yourself, "This is no good. Drop it. Start something else. Don't push this material that seems to be resisting you, and that when you read it on the page, it's just dead." It's a funny idea because it's just they look like sentences. They do everything the sentences do. They have full stops, capital letters, words, but they're dead. And it's a funny idea. And I've just got to stop now
That's a
and think of something else
fascinating
to start.
column. Is it like being in a relationship and deciding it's not working?
Before the divorce referendum, yeah.
Listen, you're getting an honorary degree. Congratulations from Oxford in June. That's brilliant. Is it nice to get that recognition, even though you have, as I said, all those prizes and honors?
Absolutely. They wrote to me and asked me if I could measure my own head. They want to put a special hat on me and they want to make sure it's the right size. So I still haven't done it. I'm slightly afraid. I can measure your own head. And yeah, it's going to be a big sort of, I suppose, grand occasion. I mean, if Oxford can't do this, and I understand that they do the citations in Latin, as they do, I think, at Trinity College in Dublin as well. So you get the whole account of your life in Latin, which I think is very exciting.
Yeah, that sounds great. Now, before I let you go, any update on a movie version of Long Island, your sequel to Brooklyn?
Nothing big, but moving slowly as those things often do. But no dates, no cast, no script. So, but yeah, there are noises. And if I opened an email tomorrow saying, we have a script, or we have an actress, or we have, I wouldn't be surprised, but not yet.
Well, it will happen, of course. Look, Colm, as ever, thank you so much. And Urban Legends will take place in Greenacres Gallery in Wexford Town from the 19th to the 31st of October. And bookings are now open for all events in the Wexford Festival Opera, including this one, on wexfordopera.com. As ever, Colm Tobin, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you very much, Miriam.
Mind
Sunday
yourself.
with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.